Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Ms. Pauline, for a beautiful job this morning. We welcome you. We gather on worship. By way of announcements, do you have anything going on that we need to lift and be aware of here as we're gathering? Debbie Gunther is standing to indicate that she would like to share. I would assume it's about mission as our mission chairperson. Please, Debbie Gunther.
Good morning. June's crop fundraiser is June 17th at BJ's off of, Sable and Alameda. And it's all day. Thank you.
All right. All you have to do is go in and eat, and
we will have
they fires. Donate a portion of the proceeds back to us and help us with missions. You enjoying the weather? We do have the air conditioning is set to go if it gets warm enough. I'm certainly plenty warm. I'm wearing too many layers of clothing for a summer morning, but it is what it is. Summer is upon us. Everybody have flowers going? We also have bees and stuff. Did you hear on the news that they've got a strange breed of bees that have moved into Aurora? Did you see that on the news? It's strange. I was kind of worried about it, but the police said, don't worry about it. We have a SWAT team. James liked it. That counts for me. So we'll go from there. Other announcements, we do have communion this morning in the United Methodist tradition. Communion is open. All who would like to come forward and partake, please do so. If you would like the elements, we will welcome you to take them by tincture. You come forward, receive the elements, partake of them as you receive them, and return by your side aisles. If you'd like to have the elements brought to you, as the ushers are coming down, just wave at the ushers. And if they look at you and wave and you say no, then we won't bring you the elements, but we're happy to bring those who are ambulatorily challenged or who might have need of having, just prefer to have them delivered if that's the case. Helen has her hand up. Michael, if you have a moment to make a troop down here.
I just wanted to say thank you to Diana and Melba for all their hard work in the yard.
All right, Melba, thank you. Say a moment of thanks for all of the work on all of the yards and beautiful stuff going on out there. And thank you, God, for growing it, and thank you, God, for watering and stuff. And, Lord, you could have left the humidity out, but that's neither here nor there. We are in the midst. Anything else by way of announcements and preparations, just getting ourselves on calendar and continuing as a body of faith? All right, if not, stand, if you will. Take a moment, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship as James leads us.
All right, brother. Put him to work.
Do I have the right one? Another right one.
You don't have what?
The
correct. You don't have the right bulletin?
Just need the bulletin.
Okay, we'll be reading out of last week's bulletin. Thanks. That's a joke. All right.
Thank you. Call to worship. The Lord is King.
Let the earth rejoice.
Let all the many coastlands be glad. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of the Lord's throne. You, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You who love the Lord hate evil, guile, and deception. The Lord guards the lives of the faithful and rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to the Lord. Please remain standing to sing the opening hymn. Come and find a quieter place. In your faith we sing hymnal 2128.
You got one?
Okay, go ahead. Come and find
In the crowded life we lead, find the room for hope to enter, find the frame where we are free. Clear the chaos and the clutter, clear our eyes that we may see all the things that really matter. Be at peace and simply be. Silence is a friend who claims us, cools the heat and slows the pain. God it is who speaks and names us, knows our thinking, lift our space, making space within our thinking, lifting shades to show the sun, raising courage when we're shrinking, finding scope for faith begun. In the Spirit, let us travel, open to each other's pain. Let our lives and fears unravel, celebrate the space we gain. There's a place for deepest dreaming, there's a time for heart to care. In the Spirit, lively scheming, there is always room to spare.
I now ask for the first scripture reading. First scripture reading comes in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 12 through 14, 16 through 17, 20 through 21. The word of the Lord. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift, the Lord who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now I ask the ensemble to come up to sing.
Thank you.
Bulletin to give him?
No, but I'm getting one.
Thank you. Thank you, ensemble. Thank you, gifted musicians. What a grace. By way of our prayer time, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the prayers that we are continuing to lift in our body. I want you to be aware of those. Do we have updates on any of those as we are coming and gathering, and as we are continuing to lift them in our prayers. If not, do you have other concerns that you'd like to lift for the first time this morning, things that are heavy upon your hearts, or the things that we want to share? We continue, of course, to suffer disasters. I pray for our Canadian brothers and sisters, wildfires there. It's the smoke that is going south and blanketing much of the south and east of the United States, so fires. We've had tornadoes, we've had storms. Fortunately here, I don't know that we've had anything severe in Denver. Amen. No concerns. That's a blessing in our midst. By way of celebrations, want to lift a few celebrations this morning. I understand that Joe Richards has a birthday today. Is that true? It's actually next week. Hang on, Monica. Say again now.
Okay. Actually, today would have been my parents' 67th wedding anniversary. So that would be there, but Joe's birthday is actually on the 20th.
So he gets to celebrate it twice.
Well,
huh?
I guess, yeah. We'll have to do that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Corrections in our database. Monday I have Charlie Morrell having a birthday. Thursday, Darren Casper. Thursday, Larry and Ruella, is that true? You are celebrating wedded bliss, and this is 49 years of those. Is that true? Celebrations, indeed. What a blessing, what a blessing. Sunday, next Sunday, Lindsay Osterlund, is she? Well, we'll have to double-check on that and see where we are on that. Carol Danielson has her hand up. I'm not sure what that's about, but, you know, try and ignore her. But all right, if we can't ignore her, all right.
Well, today is my 85th birthday, and I have my daughters Lori and Amy with me today.
I don't have it in here. I'm not sure why, Carol. I think you just have to skip it this year because I don't have it written down. It was last week? I announced it last week? Well, I can't claim anything but me for making an error there. All right. Well, happy birthday to you. Other celebrations? Ruella, please.
We celebrated one of my granddaughter's birthdays yesterday. She turned 10. And so we had three sets of grandparents and some aunts and uncles and a good time.
That's a good. Tell me your granddaughter's name.
Anaya.
Anaya. All right. 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Wonderful age celebration.
She's special. Her parents had a stillborn baby 10 months before she was born. And when she was born, they were looking for a special name. And they looked all around and they found that Anaya means God's gift.
Amen. Yeah. Aren't all children God's gifts? Amen. Celebrations. Others, other celebrations. I don't see any other hands going up, but we celebrate all of those tomorrow. We want to make you aware of the celebration of Monroe's passing, the family celebrating a service here at 11 o'clock. And we hope all can come and join and celebrate and remember. Luncheon following and services at Fort Morgan following that. So celebrations and celebration and grief all combined together in our Christian tradition, but we lift Monroe and family. All right, any other prayers? If not, let's turn in our worship bulletin to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Friends, put aside your distractions, your agendas. Put aside your hesitating. Let us join here and now in prayer to Almighty God. Center us, O Lord. Grant us your grace to hear your promises of faith, hope, and love. Center us, O Lord. You have spoken to people of former times. We listen as you share with us here and now. Center us, Lord. Draw us away from things that distract us from the lives you give us, the lives you gift to us. Center us, O Lord. Lord, we see the needs in our community. We silently lift the needs in our lives. Center us, O Lord. Center us, O Lord, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Almighty, loving, creating God, we give you thanks for this morning, for this beginning of the week to pause in our weekly routines and begin our week properly by gathering with you and centering ourselves upon you. Inspire in us, Lord, your grace and your peace and your love. We come together, we come and we've lifted prayers of concern for our brothers and sisters and who suffer the travails of our human condition. We've lifted the celebrations of the milestones of the members of our body and of our families. We've lifted silent prayers of concern and celebration to you. And as we come, we pause to acknowledge the journeys and the circle of life, the births in our midst, the young children, the gifts on our midst, and also the concerns as aging and infirmity and debilitation become the challenges and the tests of our humanity. And the journey that concludes with our passing from this existence and the glory that comes with joining with you in the everlasting. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the saints that have gone before us, the ones we celebrate and lift. We hold them in our hearts with joy and also with sadness. This human instilled grief that you created in us, we may miss them here, even as we celebrate them in your arms at rest. We come this morning, Lord, we come celebrating all of the gifts of creation on this beautiful June morning, the summertime, the promises of gatherings, of summer events, of families, of cookouts, of all of the different ways that we celebrate the season. And we come in this morning to celebrate the Lord's Supper with you. We pause in our routines. We pause to reflect and repent and to ask for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness through your grace, that we might grow closer to you, closer to one another, and more clearly and deeply in love with one another through all ways. Loving Lord, we come and gather with you this morning. We know your presence with us and with our families, with those near and far. And we seek your settling us amidst turmoil and unsettling us amidst complacency. Lord, come and join us. Come and hear us in worship. Come and guide us. Come and instill us. Come and teach us. Come and lead us. Lead us as you have always. Lead us in ways to be in gathered. Lead us in joining with our brothers and sisters around the world with the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Take another moment of meditation and pause as we listen to Colleen celebrate our offertory.
Our second scripture reading is from the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Please stand if you're able. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through the word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pardon?
BBS.
It's now time to invite the BVS video presentation.
Get your aerobics, everybody, get up and dance along. Stephanie's going to lead us. We got young people up here with more energy. If you can stand and feel that energy, absorb some of it. Their parents will be so glad you took it off their hands. That was a joke, but never mind.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a blessing is, what a
Thank you. Everybody, sit down and take the water, hydrate, and keep ourselves in shape. I will never be a dancer. I couldn't get those movements down. I don't know what the deal is. It's just not in my bailiwick, I guess. But so it's a beautiful morning, and we're gathering, preparing for the Lord's Supper. It might be a celebration. It's almost like a Thanksgiving dinner coming together. And the sermon this morning is out of John, that unity of people that Christ was talking about. Jesus said, "The glory that God gave me, I have given to humanity, so that they may become one as we are one." God and Jesus are one, we are one with, and Jesus says, "I in them and you in them, and they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." That's pretty amazing, all completely one. I'm pretty excited about that idea, but some view that as saying we're all going to become one monolithically, one everything, one language, one color, one culture, one maybe one age. I don't know how far you can push that to become uniform or monolithic or however you want to define it. How many of you feel like your families are all one together? Whenever I describe my families, I describe them as my in-laws and my outlaws. I have a little bit of both in my clan. Any of you? No, I'm sure none of you have that sort of background. Ours is a blended family. Mom remarried, so I was raised with one set of half-siblings, and there was another group of half-siblings I've never met. And maybe I don't want to. I don't know. I'm a little apprehensive about that. I did one of the DNA tests. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have done a DNA test? You know, you scan and you send it in and they send you back. So not too many of you. You're trying to protect yourselves from the law and from, you know, all right, well, never mind. I got mine back. It was pretty entertaining. My mom always said we were Heinz 57. You've heard of 57 different varieties, Heinz 57 varieties? And she's not far from wrong, but Scottish, Irish, English, Northern German, Northern European mostly in my heritage. I kind of wish I had known that growing up in high school. I would have practiced a Scottish brogue. I'd love to break into a Scottish brogue or a Welsh accent right now. It would embarrass them and me and you, and it would just not be pretty. And I can imagine, parts of me are thinking, I'd like to go and visit some of the ancestral areas. My sister-in-law and her daughter went to Scotland and drove around, and they drive on the wrong side. They drive on the left side of the street. And I said, I could never pull that off. I mean, habit is so sent in me, I don't think I could imagine it. My sister-in-law, Sue, did it perfectly. She's an amazing lady. But I can imagine going back there and finding my roots and going and meeting some of my ancestors and them looking at me thinking, oh, Lord, one of those strange Americans coming here and trying to pretend to be part of our clan. And I'm not sure, again, that I want to know too much about it. As I said, I have some outlaws in my family, and they'd be asking me for money or something. But it's intriguing to have gotten my DNA thing, because there's a small sliver that says I'm from Central. There's a piece of me from Central Africa. I would love to know the story behind that. I would love to know how that blend of genetic material came to be a part of my makeup. In high school and college, I had dark black hair, and I wore it in a fro. You know, that was kind of this, not a big one, just, you know, close cut, and it curled real nice and tight. Perfect. Get up in the morning, you wet it, and you go. Perfect haircut. It's not the same anymore. I don't know what's happened to that, but I always wondered if I had some black heritage. Not much, as DNA would say. And it doesn't make me a part of those cultures as much as I would love to know something about them. And that's the best I can do, is just learn about them. But it takes a lot. I could study and I could bone up on the history, but acculturation is a whole different thing. When I was in Ordway, Colorado, I served that little church southeast Colorado. Do you know where Ordway is? You go down to Pueblo and you turn left and you drive till you can't see the mountains anymore. And they got tarantulas and roadrunners and desert and scrub. And that's Ordway. And it was a fine, wonderful, good little church. It was a lot of fun. But one of the families there had been farming there for generations. And the daughter married this fella from New Jersey. And not only did she marry this guy from New Jersey, but he came back, moved back to Ordway with her, and he was going to be farming. And the farmers looked at each other and shook their heads. A New Jersey native is going to come here and farm in the arid southeast Colorado? They said, you got to grow up with it. You can't just be taught it. You got to learn it from you know, knee high to an adult, and you're constantly learning. Farmers he proved them wrong. It's a rare instance, and they admitted that, but he got in there, he did a great job, and he learned, and he farmed, and he not only farmed crops, but he farmed people. He was a heck of a nice guy. Who'd have thought that from New Jersey? Now, I get to do that because my dad was from New Jersey, and he's the greatest person I've ever met. But acculturation is something that we learn and we grow, and it just becomes a part of us that's always been there. I'm always tickled when I move from church to church, which hymns are familiar. I'll pick a hymn that I'm really familiar with, and Blessed Colleen or whoever the accompanist will email me and say, we've never heard this before, and you can do it if you want, but just be aware that we may need to work on it a little. And I'll think, oh, well, we sing that all the time. And so there's history that comes with things, isn't there? There's acculturation. And there's diversity. I had never sung any Tongan stuff until we got here. I still don't do it successfully. Ask Paya. I try to do some Tongan stuff, and she just laughs at me. You've heard Paya's delightful laugh, haven't you? It's a nice thing. It's delightful. And thank you, Paya, for putting up with me, as you always do. So this diversity thing, is that natural or unnatural? What do we think about that? Should there be diversity? Maybe we should. When I was growing up, I thought, well, if we all just took all of the little kids at a certain age and moved them to another planet and raised them all together the same, there'd be no discrimination, there'd be no anything, and we just, and they'd all have the same language and they're all cultures. Wouldn't that be wonderful? As I've aged, I realize how much we would be leaving out. The differences in cultures. I mean, I thought I knew how to tell time, but the Tongans have a whole different way of telling time. And we laugh and we have a wonderful time with them. You do things when it's time to do them. Haitians are exactly the same. You come together, and when everybody's ready, that's when you start. It isn't 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. It's when you're ready and when everything's set. You Tongans call it when the coconut drops, right? Isn't that the phrase? And it takes a little bit of a challenge for us Caucasian, anally clock-following people to adjust to that and to understand that sometimes things happen in the spirit of the times and of the people. It's a wonderful thing, and it's something that I'm relearning. I'm still wearing a watch, but I'd like to get rid of it. It's coming. So there's a societal divide still over this uniformity or diversity thing. The current movement societally is to reject diversity, and that's a problem for me. And it's kind of hypocritical to think that we need uniformity and just monolithic being, because we're all immigrants. We have all come from a variety of interesting places. And I'd love to see those DNA divisions from where different people have come from and their ancestry and their different cultures and their different traditions. And that diversity is God-given. God made us. That should get an amen. God made us. And God made us all different. Some of us are different in different ways, but that's another story, and we won't go down that road too far. Jesus said, the glory, God, the glory that you have given me, I have given to humanity, so that they may be one as we are one. And in a lot of ways, it seems to say that we should all be exactly the same, that we should all do everything exactly the same. Churches don't even do everything the same. Even United Methodist churches don't do everything the same. Even United Methodist churches in our Mountain Sky Conference don't do everything the same. Even churches in our Mountain Sky District, I don't know the name of our district anymore. We changed the name, didn't we? Northeast Colorado, what is it, Metro? Well, Mountain Sky is our conference now. It doesn't matter. Our district, in our district, we have churches that are diverse. You can go to one church and you sit down to worship and you'll find some differences in the way they do things. I think it has to do with these pastors that are just rebels and don't obey and pay attention to things. And that's a good thing. But we also come to every place we come through culture and through heritage. We come through a heritage of religious heritage, not so much polity all the time, but I got to visit a Korean Presbyterian church once, and that was lovely worship service. It was all in Korean. I don't speak Korean. And it was a worship service, and I hummed along to the hymns that I knew the melody to, but the words were in Korean. But it was a gathering, and I felt included. But it was different. It was a different way of being in that group. So we were all one because we all turned, and we all turned to worship, and we all worship Christ, and that's enough. Because if we put Christ at the center of it all, that's what he's talking about. We are one. If we listen to what Christ is teaching us, it's enough, and we are one. So we come from different places. We come from our heritage of different churches and languages. And even in our hymnal, it's kind of fun how many different languages are expressed in our hymnal. There's Spanish. We've sung a handful of Spanish hymns. You know one pretty well. O Lord, you have come to the lake shore. You remember that one? O Lord, you have come to the lake shore. That one is originally in Spanish. And we're singing the English translation. That's why sometimes the words don't fit perfectly with the meter. But that's okay. Amazing Grace, have you ever heard that one? It's kind of an obscure hymn. Amazing Grace, have you heard that one? How many, you ever sung that one? Anybody ever sung Amazing Grace? This is not a trick question. Okay. How many different versions of languages are there in our hymnal? It's astonishing. It's a delightful sort of thing. I can't sing any but English and that poorly. So we have this culture of worshiping together. We have a culture that comes from the saints who have gone before us. You have saints that have gone before you, yes? You have those saints that have raised you and taught you and led you and, and maybe even introduced you to worship here in church and brought you as a piece of this worshiping body. You grew up here. That's a lovely thing. And those heritages are important. The heritage of understanding not only just our families, but the family of us as Christians. Our family going all the way back to Jesus and his family. Remember, they were immigrants in Egypt for a period. They had to flee. Remember, it was Herod was going to kill Jesus. And an angel warned them and said, you've got to leave. And so they went into Egypt where they were welcomed and supported from their persecution. So this is in our religious DNA. How many of you can name all 12 of the apostles? Richard, yeah, I bet you can. And someday we're going to have to sit down because I could get most of them given time. But we don't go through that often enough, do we? There's 12 of them. And what's even more important is not just who they are and their names, but it's the cultures they come out of. They are as different as night and day. They are from different regions and different traditions. And Jesus selected them. Now, if you're going to build a support team, you want to get people that think like you, talk like you, act like you, came from your culture, right? And Jesus didn't do that. And he did that on purpose, that diversity. So how can we be united in Christ? How can we be the same? Were these apostles the same in him? It's been a struggle ever since he passed and rose again. And the apostles were set to lead the church. There was division. Some thought they should lead. There was a bunch. There's a Johannine church and there's a Petrine church. We call that the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. There's all kinds of divisions. And the church is split and split and split. And so we have all of these divisions. But we also have unity because we turn to this one same text and the one same Christ. Amen? So unity, diversity, and all we are about, and Jesus reminding us to be one. One in central aspects. Love one another. Take care of one another. That's what Jesus did with us. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Compassion, caring, love. Wonderful gifts from our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are here in worship and now gathered, we now turn to that ceremony, that rite, that act of remembrance, wherein we recall what he taught us. The Lord's Supper. Amen. Open your hymnal to page 13 if you'd like, or you can follow along in your bulletin. Let us prepare for Holy Communion. Turn on your bulletins or follow along overhead. It's a little hot, Mike. Thank you. Let us read responsibly. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. We have told the story before, but it is important to always remember and to tell it again and again. The Passover feast had come. It was the last supper Jesus would celebrate with his apostles. They didn't know that at the time. But he gathered with them, and the Passover, this family tradition of wine and good food, and they were celebrating a tradition with a script that was always recited the same way. Everyone knew what happened and what happened next, and yet in the midst of it, he broke from that script, and he took the bread off of the table, the lufsa, and he gave thanks to God. We don't do that often enough, do we? We have more than enough food. We are grateful for our food, but they didn't always, and he gives thanks for that food. And he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the apostles looked at one another. You're sure that they would have thought, "Oh, he's up to something again." And the supper went on, and the supper came to an end. The supper is pretty much over, and everything is cleared, and everybody's sitting back, and it's like after turkey dinner, good glass of wine, it's full bellies. And there's only one cup left on the table. It is the cup of the prophet Elijah. You remember Elijah, the Old Testament, he didn't die, but he was taken up into heaven and would return, and it was prophesied and it was known he would return. And so a cup is left on the table in case he might return for that Passover feast and be with you. The doors were made to be open, and the cup was there ready for Elijah to pick up and partake. That's the only cup left on the table, and Jesus picked it up. And he picked it up, and again he gave thanks to God for it. Then he took and he offered it to all of those gathered, said, "Take and drink, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you gather in my name in remembrance of me." And so we do his bidding. We come and we gather in his name. We celebrate in his name, and we remember Christ, who is the one that unifies us. Amen? Amen. Mark, I invite you to come and assist me. James, could I ask you two to come and assist as well? we have gathered as one in Christ. Amen? Let's stand and sing. James, lead us, please.
It's actually, it can be found in your hymnal, page 474. Precious Lord, take my hand. Celebrations of a beautiful June morning, celebrations of a beautiful Sunday morning, celebrations of a morning in the Lord God. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Love one another as He has loved us. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.